We want to start off with a reminder that we are not doctors. Before you make any changes or try something new, always consult with your doctor and medical team first. Chronic illness can vary from patient to patient, so it's always best to consult with your own doctor for what is best for you.
Welcome to IBD Determined. I'm your host, Mason Harvey, and I have Crohn's disease.
And I'm your host, Michelle Harvey, and I am Mason's mom, and I'm in the role of a caregiver. Whenever we try to discuss things on here, we try to present it from two different viewpoints, from the caregiving and the patient side of it. So this is episode 10, and we have finally made it to 10.
Well, that's a good point.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So today, I think this will probably be a really good episode for our special 10. And we're going to introduce you to a character that some of you guys know
already, yeah,
and some of you don't. So let's talk about before you went to the hospital, before you were diagnosed, one of your favorite types of food was
pizza.
Pizza. Yeah.
Yes.
And he was so disappointed in the hospital when he was on gut rest and he couldn't eat or drink anything for 4 weeks. And he just dreamed of all kinds of food. Things, so even things you didn't like or like hot dogs.
I never really liked hot dogs.
But he was drawing all kinds of food. And it was the pictures were all over his room. And we would watch the Food Network. We love the Food Network anyway. So in the hospital that was on actually all night because it would keep Mason company. He liked to have the talking. So we would leave the Food Network on all night and into the early morning. So when Mason was first diagnosed, there really wasn't anything that they gave him to really help.
Yeah.
There was pamphlets, which are good to have because those are informative, but that's kind of clinical. You know, when you're a kid, it's like, pamphlet with pictures of intestines and very angry-looking intestines. Like, okay, and all these, and it's just kind of like for a kid, it's not really comforting.
Yeah.
And so you kind of want something that's going to bring you a little bit of comfort. But there needed to be something that was like a normal book, something that you could relate to, that was maybe a little funny, and just something like that. And that didn't exist. Well, to our knowledge, there might be something
there.
But there wasn't a Beatty Children's Hospital in 2020. So I'll let you show off what we're going to be talking about today.
We're going to be talking about Not Your Average Slice of Pizza. This is a book illustrated by me and written by both of us.
Yeah. So that was a dream of ours back when Mason was diagnosed. And it was something that we weren't sure if it would happen, but it was on that list of things that would be cool to do. Also, I think the idea here was to have a book that not just a child with Crohn's or like
any disease could kind of relate to it, you know?
Right. And maybe, and then beyond that, any kid, like if somebody picked this up, it's not going to be like, oh, it's so specialized to something that one kid won't read, another kid will. We wanted something that any child
could relate to, you know,
to and read. And of course, it would be written from the perspective of having Crohn's, but it would be something that also might teach empathy and kindness a little bit as well.
I think so.
In the hospital, we had a discussion about how cool it would be if we could have a book like this. And while Mason was there, he had so many of his cool drawings up that a lot of the doctors and nurses were telling him he should write a book. And
I was like,
yeah,
I don't know how to do that.
Like, I'm so tired. I have so many things going on. Right, like, please, you know, I don't want to think about a book. But in the back of my head, I was like, yeah, I think that would be great for Mason to be able to share this experience and let it help another child, you know, because Mason could now relate to and understand those feelings. And as a caregiver, I could relate to and understand what a parent would want for their child. So that's kind of where it was started, was in that hospital room 213 at Reedy Children's.
Special little memory.
In the Rose Pavilion. Yep. So that was where it started, where all of Mason's drawings took place.
And came to life.
And that led to this. And the point of this book was to make kids feel visible, make them feel understood.
Not feel alone.
That was very important. And maybe a book that they could have a teacher read to their classroom, or they could have their siblings read so that they could better understand, or give to a friend. And so that was kind of the idea. So that became a goal. And that's kind of a big goal, I think, for anybody.
Especially when you've never even like kind of gotten close to writing a book before, you know?
Yeah.
Just to write a book all of a sudden.
And illustrate it. I think illustrating is key here, because illustrating, it's one thing to write a children's book, but to illustrate it is another. And we'll go more into why on this one Mason took over and decided to illustrate it himself. Yeah, so if you're trying to write a book, I know people who do this for a living, and you can hire somebody if you aren't good at art, and if that's not your thing, but you're a really powerful storyteller, there's people out there who can help you with that. So we'll be definitely willing to help you with that if you need someone. But for our cases, we had Mason, a lucky guy. Yeah. So when after Mason was diagnosed, the number one goal was to get him better and to focus on his health. So obviously this book was, you know, it was a goal, but it was not the priority at the time Mason was. So it got to
do it at the time.
So it got put on hold, and it took about 2 years after his diagnosis for us to return to this idea. And I had not forgotten.
She never forgot.
No. I was really excited about this, and I really wanted to help some other kids. And I think you were excited, but
I was like, write a book? That sounds crazy, but it was a fun experience.
And so something may seem daunting, may seem difficult, but when you actually go through it and do it, it's not always as difficult as you think it will be. And sometimes it is. Yeah. But this was really tough.
It was.
But we learned a lot. And maybe we'll write a second book if we get enough requests. So 2 years after his diagnosis, Mason took a class with Story Experiential with Pixar.
Yes.
This class was recommended to us actually by the friend I was just talking about, who is an illustrator, a very talented one. And she had mentioned that Pixar was going to be teaching this class, and it was for adults, but kids could also join. And it was a special deal if kids took it. So Mason at first was like, this is my summer. Yeah. And I'm like, you're going to take a class.
No.
I'm like, no, but it's cool. It's learning to storyboard and it's art. And so he was like, all right, sounds good.
And I love Pixar movies, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that I was getting kind of like taught by Pixar, you know?
Artists.
Pixar,
so, yeah. What a cool, you know?
It was like, wow. So these are the real people who actually do this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a really fun experience.
So we highly recommend this, and you'll probably see why as we go through this. But this class, anybody can take it. Story Experiential with Pixar. I will put a link at the end of this. So if you guys are interested, you also
link in description.
Yep, it'll be there, I promise. So Mason was challenged to draw pictures every week. So there was some other would come up with a new challenge. They would have to draw and add to their storyboard and continue going with it. It was pretty apparent right away that there's a variety of levels of talent in this class. And so the very first thing they kind of discussed was the power of storytelling.
That's not just art.
Right. Because you can have a beautiful drawing, but you need a story to back that up. So they had told the kids in class they could partner up. They could find a parent to help. You know, you could whatever you needed to do. The way that they started this class was you had to brainstorm some different questions. And so the one that stood out is, what if food could talk? Like, hey, what if? What if it was the food from the hospital that you drew? You have all these drawings.
I had a bunch of drawings. I had a bunch of different little drawings I drew in the hospital.
Yeah. And one of
because
they're really good.
I didn't have really anything else to do in the hospital. So I just kind of
he's
spent
really
my time
good.
Drawing.
I know every mom probably says this about their kids.
I think they look really
but
good.
But I really yeah. But everyone else said they were good too. So it wasn't just me. But I think they were really good. And so one of the most popular things he drew was a piece of pizza. And it was a really cool piece of pizza. The main character Reggie,
the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He would tell the entire story, so basically. Entire story
from his perspective.
Right.
Yeah. And he drew Reggie and he's telling the story through him. So it's kind of like this interesting little plot twist, I guess, you know.
Into, I mean, if you think of Pixar movies, you can probably picture they're great at storytelling.
Dropping little clues here and there.
Right. So kind of giving clues throughout the book. And then at the end, there's a twist of some sort. And for him, I think you felt sometimes, though, you were still a little frustrated because it was a lot of work. And yeah. Sometimes the drawings just, you just didn't feel artsy.
Yeah, because sometimes the drawings just didn't really turn out how you expected them. So you kind of have to redraw it. So you'd have to draw it lightly with just a normal pencil. And if it didn't turn out right, you had to redraw it. And then you, when it's correct, you can fill it in. Then you can outline the side and all stuff. It was a lot of trial and error to get.
But in the class, at least they weren't hard on you for that.
No, they didn't want it to be perfect or anything.
As long as the picture could tell the story some way and you're writing the story, as long as it was kind of correlating, because they knew some kids just hadn't learned all the skills yet. They didn't have all the materials to do it. And the whole time Mason was doing it, he was using colored pencils. So it would be similar to what, because when he was in the hospital, that's what he had. He used colored pencils. At the end of the class, they have this thing called an exhibition where they showcase the winners that they choose out of, and there's hundreds of people in these classes. They're very large classes. They choose three people for youth and three people for the adult group to win the best story reels. And I don't think there's any expectations.
No.
Certainly not. And that was never Mason's goal. His goal was to just survive the class.
I just draw to live here.
Yeah, he was like limping along, like, all right, let's just, you know, and actually the last week that they had to work on these, Mason was in the hospital. He had to have scopes. And so he had to do prep day. He had scope day. So that took out several days of even getting to finish off your story. So it was a little bit of a challenge. So they announced the winners, and you probably can guess where we're going with this because we're talking about it. But
about it.
Yeah, Mason was one of the winners, which
I did not expect at all.
No, he was, both of our mouths just like, dropped. And we're like, wait, did they say your name? I was like, and then the music started playing, and then they talked about it afterwards and they were so impressed with it. And I think that was such a cool moment. And I said, this is our sign to turn this into a book. But now
we can create a book.
I think we can do the book. And that's what's really cool. So if you are thinking of writing a book, taking this class could really help you, because you get, not only do you get all the feedback from all the other participants, you get feedback from Pixar artists, you get, it's legit. And so if you're going to write a story, it's a great way to kind of run it through many tests to see if it's even like worth it. And so if it passes all of that, you know, and you get the criticism. So you get constructive feedback that helps you make the changes you need. So like I told him, I said, don't stress, I'll write it. But I want you to tell the story. So you have to work side by side with me. I want you telling the story. I don't want it to be from a caregiver's perspective telling the story. I want it to be
from Reggie's perspective.
Reggie. So
Mason.
Yes. That was a huge focus of ours. So I told him I would write it. I take care of all that. I take care of the editing, the setting up of the book and layout. And he just had to maybe draw a few more pictures
to make it more smooth.
At the same time, I had never written a book.
No.
And so
I never had either.
Yeah. So I went to the University of YouTube and I did what I always do, which is where I research on there and figure out how to do things. And so when people are like, how do you do this? I'm like, well, it's honestly, it's out there, because if I can do it, I promise you can do it.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. You just have to, you know, be persistent, be stubborn and not give up. So you have to learn which programs to put this into, proper ways to save and to download to the publisher so that you get a quality book. And we wanted to continue to use those
colored pencils
and keep that trend going. So
you have to find all the same colors, you know, you want the cheese to be a little darker yellow. You want it to be the same, you know?
Yeah. He did a really good job. Yeah. He did a great job. It was definitely a challenge, but I think it was a fun challenge.
It was an exciting challenge, you know, because you know the end product is going to be something extraordinary.
Right.
I was trying to find a good word there. And extraordinary is the word that fits it.
It's good. I think it works. And the other aspect of this is that, kind of like we talked about earlier, when you write a story, like what he learned in Pixar, you kind of want to have like Easter eggs, things hidden in the story that kind of allude to the ending, but you may not pick up on completely. So the idea in our book was to mix reality with these drawings. And so
the background sometimes would be like maybe like the hospital room I was in, or our front yard, or the hallway in the hospital, you know,
or a picture we literally took in Yellowstone,
things like that, you know,
because we wanted to bring that mix of reality with fantasy. And then the other little item we added at the bottom of each page
was the drawings that I drew in the hospital.
Let me see.
So at the bottom of each page, there will be little drawings like this. And those, because they're all original drawings that I drew in the hospital.
Right. Each page has these drawings instead of like page numbers. So it's kind of fun. So
it's page bread.
Yeah, that's on page bread. And there's page, you know, page cheese. There's page cookies. Tomato. There's all kinds. If you get this book, you'll get to see that all of those were from when he was in the hospital. So that's kind of a cool little Easter egg too. I don't know that a lot of people realize that is what is in there. The next challenge in writing this story for us was, like we had mentioned earlier, we wanted to not make it Crohn's specific, but Mason to still tell his story, not have to necessarily change it, but to tell his story, but also open it up to where another child reading this with a chronic illness
could relate
and put themselves into the story too. And so there's things in this book. It discusses like blood transfusions, which is very important to us. We are huge fans of our local San Diego Blood Bank. And
if you're watching, thank you for what you do.
Yes. Mason's code is MH21 if you are a donor. Yeah. But we wanted to talk about things like blood transfusions or MRIs, CAT scans, and
all those fun things.
Shots, stuff like that. And a lot of kids can relate to this, even if they don't have Crohn's, if they've been hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, if there are kids that have never been exposed to this, this would be a great way to learn about what other kids might be going through. Some kids out there are so fortunate to be healthy and not have these issues. So this book might be a little eye-opening for them, and not in a scary way. We don't want
it to be scary.
So we kept it a little bit ambiguous as to what disease it is. It does definitely point in the direction of like autoimmune disease or cancer, but it can really go towards anything. So that was the idea behind it, was to make it accessible to any child. And at the same time, also, if a kid with Crohn's is reading it, they're like, cool, there's a book for me. Yeah. So
my disease.
Right.
But it's kind of loosely wrapped around Crohn's, you know? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes. So it's still relevant in that sense. So the next question we usually get asked is, how did we publish this?
And where can I find it?
And where can I find this book? So how we published it, we went through a company called Ingram Spark. We made the decision that we could find a publisher that would work with us quickly, and we could order books whenever we wanted to, so we could sell them or they could distribute them. And Ingram Spark is the company I found that worked well for us. Nothing is perfect.
Nope.
So there are some challenges sometimes, but for our needs, it worked great. I can order books myself and I can have them shipped to other people. So people can order through them, and they put it on, like, they got it onto like Amazon, and they got it onto barnesandnoble.com, and it's other places like Walmart. I think you can search it on Google and you can see all the places it's available. So that's the deal with Ingram Spark, but they were able to provide us what we needed and get this book out there. So once we got the book, we were like super excited. Yeah. Like literally when we got the books first time, we were super excited.
It was so cool to see it in the like in the book form, you know?
Yeah.
The cover and everything. It was really cool.
It had been in our minds for so long.
We were just envisioning it.
And all of a sudden you could hold it, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh.
You were reading it like a real book, you know?
Yeah. I know we kept going, this is like a real book. It's like,
God.
It is. And so what we were able to do with it, we were able to get it to so far we've distributed quite a few at our local hospital. Yeah. And we've been fortunate enough to have a good friend. Like, one of the ideas she had last year is she did a fundraiser and she bought a bunch of these at cost. And then we were able to donate them to the hospital. And it's pretty cool because we do have also like a large Reggie plushie that's like a pillow. And so we'll bring that to infusions. And
it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And the nurses are like, you know, oh my gosh, you're Mason, you're famous.
You know, was that Reggie?
Yeah, they're like, we saw that book in HEMOC last week, or we saw it in the, it's in the GI clinic or in the infusion center, wherever it's at. And so it's kind of cool because there, and there's another little girl there, and she actually had been given a book because since we gifted these to the hospital, they're able to gift them to kids. And so we're not always aware of who receives them, but she had recognized the Reggie, the plushie that we had. Yeah. And she was like, it's Reggie. Yeah. And then her dad was like, oh my gosh, and you're Mason. And so he's like telling his daughters, well, that's Mason. That's the book. And he said they read that book almost every night before bed. And so that was like,
it is so cool.
That was really cool.
We're enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. And so it's pretty amazing. We were able to get so many to the hospital and know that they're being handed out and, you know, just gifted to these kids that are so deserving of this. So that's been pretty exciting. And then we also applied to have them put into our local libraries. You would probably think like, oh, I can just drop a book off in the library and put it out. Yeah. Library's like, nope.
No.
No, that's not how it goes. You have to apply and then they will accept it. And so we were accepted into our local San Diego County library system. So if you live here and you want to check it out, you can. And then we also entered it was some kind of an author showcase in February in San Diego. And Reggie's also a part of that too. So that book got to make it into the San Diego library system too. So you can find Not Your Average Slice of Pizza at the San Diego libraries now and San Diego County libraries. So that's exciting for us because we want it to be accessible to kids because sometimes these books can be expensive and not every child has access. And so it was very important to us to get these somewhere where anyone can access them. Yeah. And they've been at some schools and it's been cool. We've got like a thank you letter from a classroom, you know, thanking Mason and
for writing the book and
So that's really exciting. You know, it's like it's serving the purpose, kind of the dream we had back when he was diagnosed, and it's been 3 years now, and it's really a cool feeling to know that you're maybe helping kids with something like Mason may have struggled with and we saw a need for it and we jumped on it. And that's why we say, if you have something you're thinking about, just do it. Like right after this, sit down, make a plan, and if it seems daunting, if it seems difficult, just start educating yourself as much as possible and take the first steps, because every time you take that first step, you're going to take another step and just keep going.
And the most you can do is try.
Yep. That's all you can do. And we can autograph it too.
Yeah, we can autograph it if you
want. Yeah. And if you just want Mason to autograph it, that's fine too. If you want the whole team, even because we're all characters in the book, and even Jason.
Yeah.
He's got a character. Yeah, he made it into the book. So if you want the whole team to autograph it,
except our dog.
Yeah.
She can't sign it.
No, sadly. She can get it dirty. She can step on it and run across it, but we're not going to do that.
No, we don't want to mess up your book.
No.
But yeah, we can autograph it. The whole team can autograph it.
We were prepared. Like, we're like, yeah, maybe people won't want to read about a sick piece of pizza.
that's a story. That sounds exciting.
He looks so happy on the front. And you're like, oh my gosh, not your average slice of pizza. And
you open up like, the pizza was sick.
Yeah. We can autograph it too.
Yeah, we can autograph it if you.
Yeah. And if you just want Mason to autograph it, that's fine too. If you want the whole team, even because we're all characters in the book, and even Jason.
Yeah.
He's got a character. Yeah, he made it into the book. So if you want the whole team to autograph it.
Except our dog.
Yeah.
She can't sign it.
No. Sadly. She can get it dirty. She can step on it and run across it, but we're not going to do that.
No. We don't want to mess up your book.
No.
But yeah, we can autograph it. The whole team can autograph it, or I can just autograph it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there is a QR code on the front pages of this, so you can scan that. And
see the original project.
Yeah. So if you want to get it, if you want to get a copy too, we have it at our karmitudecandles.com. You can purchase it on there. And I think it's a little cheaper on there actually. It was the original storyboard is what it is. And You can watch it. Mason narrates it. Your voice sounds a little different on it.
It does sound a little different.
Now, yeah.
How long ago was it?
It was a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
My voice changed a little bit.
Yeah, it's cool because you can actually see where the story was born and see where it grows and hear Mason talk about it. Yeah. So it's pretty special. So we made sure to include that QR code for you guys so you can watch that too. So that is it for today's episode. Yeah, we can autograph it too.
Yeah, we can autograph it if you're...
Yeah, and if you just want Mason to autograph it, that's fine too. If you want the whole team, even because we're all characters in the book, and even Jason.
Yeah.
He's Jason, got a character. Dad, yeah. Yeah, he made it into the book. So if you want the whole team to autograph it.
Except our dog.
Yeah.
She can't sign it.
No. Sadly. She can get it dirty. She can step on it and run across it, but we're not going to do that.
No. We don't want to mess up your book.
No.
But yeah, we can autograph it. The whole team can autograph it, or I can just autograph it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there is a QR code on the front pages of this, so we can autograph it too.
Yeah, we can autograph it if you're...
Yeah, and if you just want Mason to autograph it, that's fine too. If you want the whole team, even because we're all characters in the book, and even Jason.
Yeah.
Even he's Jason, got a character. Dad, yeah. Yeah, he made it into the book. So if you want the whole team to autograph it.
Except our dog.
Yeah.
She can't sign it.
No. Sadly. She can get it dirty. She can step on it and run across it, but we're not going to do that.
No. We don't want to mess up your book.
No.
But yeah, we can autograph it. The whole team can autograph it, or I can just autograph it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there is a QR code on the front page. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Team IB Determined, where you can watch our journey in real time and see what we're up to. And you can watch us, like I just mentioned, on YouTube at... So thanks for listening.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
See you guys on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you will stick around, tune in, and reach out to us with your own journeys. We are excited to give you an inside view of what it takes to be a caregiver and what it's like to be a patient.
And most of all, we hope you'll maybe be able to apply something you hear on here that might help you in your own life. Sometimes life changes, and it's all about how you handle the journey.